This is Across Divides, a series of stories and experiences from communities across the island of Ireland as they meet shared challenges and consider opportunities for collaboration. Find out more at icommunityhub.org.
I'm Susie Cann, and on this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about the perspective we get when we go beyond the island and think about the whole globe. So joining me today to talk about the Sustainable Development Goals, global perspectives, perspectives from the Global South, and how we engage the public in global citizenship, I am joined by Frank Geary, who is the director at the Irish Development Education Association, that uses a wide variety of tools to engage the Irish public on development education and fosters global citizenship in the Republic of Ireland. I'm also joined by Dr. Salome Bugwa, who is a researcher, a gender equality activist and human rights advocate. She's the founder and former CEO of Akidwa, which is the migrant women's network, and has over 20 years' experience of working with underrepresented groups, in particular women, children, and the youth in Europe, in Africa, and internationally. I'm also joined by Bian Smith, who is the public engagement officer at Children in Crossfire, who have been responding to rights and needs of children and young people caught in the crossfire of global poverty, injustice, and inequality. And I'm also joined by Karen Jeffers, who is a freelance facilitator and consultant in the charity sector in global citizenship education. After 5 years working in Latin America in conflict and post-conflict settings, she returned to Ireland in 2014 and established the Irish branch of the international human rights organisation Peace Brigades International. In 2020, she also co-founded an environmental education organisation in County Monaghan, Sheeltacree. You're all really, really welcome, and I hope we're going to have an interesting conversation across all of the areas of your work. But Frank, I might start with you to talk a little bit more about the work of IDEA and how you think having a global perspective helps us here on the island.
Sure. Thanks very much, Susie, and thanks for inviting me to be part of the conversation. Really looking forward to it. So IDEA, the Irish Development Education Association, we are, as you've said, we're an all-island network for development education, and we represent more than 80 members who are involved in the practice, promotion and advancement of development education right across formal education and informal settings. And our members really cover a wide spectrum of civil society and education. So whether that's development NGOs or community-based organizations, youth sector, those within formal education, and more beyond that. And what we do when we come together as IDEA is our mission is to advance and champion global citizenship and sustainable development by supporting and representing our members' development education work. And why is a global perspective important? Well, really, I think that what we find is that if we look at local issues or national issues in a global context, we see them in a very different way. I was at a meeting a while ago where people were talking about not local to global, but local to local, that actually it's about building and making those connections between different parts of the world. First of all, lets us see our shared humanity. And secondly, lets us see that the problems that we're facing in the world, whether that's within the island of Ireland or elsewhere, are problems that need to be solved together. And that's where, as you say, the Sustainable Development Goals really come in.
Yeah, Karen, do you agree with Frank? Is that part of what makes your work relevant on the island of Ireland, that we have to do these things together?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, thanks again to everyone who's here on the panel. I suppose what I was hearing when I was listening to Frank was also solidarity, you know. So it's this piece of connecting local to local. I really, really resonate with that. But also, yeah, working in solidarity with other people in their struggles too, because unfortunately, we're all in the same in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat, you know. So things are in different parts of the world, particularly in the global south, in terms of how we're dealing with the same issues, whether it's climate change, whether it's other types of social injustice issues. We're not all coming from it with the same privilege and the same opportunities. So solidarity and working together to solve these problems is the only way we're going to do it. We've seen so many examples of that over the last while. And then I suppose our work at Shield to Cree, which is in particular, it's about ecosystem restoration and climate change. So borders are pretty meaningless in that, you know, in terms of the climate, in terms of our lands and what needs to be restored. So working together is essential.
Salome, you have worked all over the world and you've ended up bringing a lot of people together who are moving about the world for lots of reasons. Can you tell us a little bit more about that work and what its context is like, bringing that work that you've done elsewhere to Ireland?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Just to thank everybody in the discussion as well. And just to say that, you know, that work which I've done, you know, around the world, because I worked in Uganda, I'm working actually still in Democratic Republic of Congo. And I work, you know, with the European Network of Migrant Women in different European countries. I think there's that kind of value that we add, you know, when we bring all these kind of learnings and sharings of ideas, because, you know, when we talk about global education, global citizenship education, it actually involves, you know, people's experiences, you know, people's experiences of life, people values and people understanding and where they are in life. And so in our work, for example, with the Migrant Women's Network, which is AKIDWA, we have tried as much as possible to ensure that we bring others along with our understanding and what you're bringing with us, you know, from our home countries. And for example, at the moment in AKIDWA, we have a program which is called Women Together for a Better World. And this is actually a kind of a global citizen education, which brings both migrant and indigenous women together to learn from each other and to see on how they can build an equal world, you know, bringing better understanding of, you know, for example, using Sustainable Development Goal number 5 on gender equality and the inequality that exists, you know, locally within Ireland and among us from diverse background, because we are not a homogeneous group, even when we talk about us as women. We are coming from very different, you know, immigration status, ethnic, religious, and all that. And that in itself alone is very, even know in bringing understanding and helping people to get a better in-depth understanding of how our world operates. This kind of bringing what even, for example, migrant women are themselves, you know, their, you know, understanding, knowledge, their education, but also understanding of where their lives in global, what is still in global south, can help particular indigenous people to understand on what is happening and sharing that understanding, inequalities and injustices continue to experience regardless of where we are. So I find it very variable, and I find it as a quite interesting and good learning. And in these sessions, you know, women actually learn quite a lot from each other and come up then with manifesto of how they would want to create a world based on the learning that they are getting.
Yeah. And Bayan, to just introduce your work and the work of children in the Crossfire, like the children are the ones who, as we talk a lot about the sustainable development goals or climate justice, or, you know, they're the ones inheriting the world we're making for them. They're the ones dealing with it now. And but communicating that to the public. So you're, you know, trying to engage with the public about the global injustice or inequality. What is helpful in having perspectives like the ones that Salome is talking about, or how do you work with young people to help them expand their view or give them a broader perspective.
Thank you very much, Susie. I'm delighted to be here with you all today. yeah, it's a really good question. So Children in Crossfire does, as you said, work with children who are really caught in the crossfire of poverty. However, my particular focus is really here in Ireland, on the island of Ireland, and working more broadly. So I don't focus so much on children, but I focus on learners of all ages. And I think there's very heavy overlaps with Frank, with Karen, and with Salome, actually. The nature of our work at the moment is really to educate people in global citizenship education and make people more aware of the Sustainable Development Goals. We find that the general public still is not really aware of the Sustainable Development Goals, isn't really aware of their significance, isn't aware of how they can contribute towards them. So a lot of our work in public engagement is about getting that message out there. So we work in various different spaces. We do very informal things, and then we do quite formal things. So there's quite a spectrum of things that we're doing. For example, actually yesterday we unveiled a large three-story mural in Belfast for International Women's Day. So you have things like that that are kind of like large, just kind of campaigns, I suppose. And then we also do like focus training for youth workers to help them bring some of these issues, bring these global perspectives into their youth practice. So there's quite a variety of ways in which we work with the public to try and help them grasp some of these justice issues. And I think, you know, like everyone's been saying, it is critical to be able to see how what's happening locally is impacted by and also impacts the issues and challenges that we're experiencing globally, and vice versa.
And maybe anybody can answer in terms of, so what is different about global citizenship education, or what is, you know, how does that actually look for people engaging in it? Or, you know, the method, I suppose, so like the story you've just said, it might be a campaign with the mural, but obviously you're also listening to the women, Salome, you're being part of a dialogue. And Frank, I know you've been involved with this for a lot of years in IDEA, and you hear lots of different stories. I'd love to have some, even just share with each other, some of the examples of what engagement with these global issues looks like when it's something in the work.
Interesting question, actually. And yesterday, so we have a fast fashion in like an immersive art installation at the moment, that's quite a powerful piece. And I was just chatting, it's in this community center in Eglinton, just outside Derry. And I was talking to the woman who runs the center and just checking, because it had only been there a few days, just checking in, like, how's it all going? Are people engaging with it? Are they enjoying it? And she said that a woman was broke down and cried. She was so moved by the issues that the installation was highlighting. And I suppose that's kind of one level of global citizenship education, is helping us all to connect to the wider human family. And that's kind of, I don't know if it's the first step, I don't want to say it's the first step, but it's definitely an early step in wanting to be able to understand the issues that affect everybody, and then being able to act, to have a role in trying to dismantle some of these challenges. But that kind of emotional connection is important at the first level.
Absolutely. I think, I really agree with that, because what was in my mind is this different method of trying to reach people, you know, so you're trying to encourage people to engage, but on a heart level, you know, on an individual level. And I suppose that's what we want to work on here at Shield Degree, is this very much this idea of working with the person where they're at and enabling them to see their full potential, you know, as human beings, and connect in with that and that relationship with wider nature, that relationship with, you know, our the impact of how I am towards myself and towards the things around me, and my, and that's your in your community, in your global community, all of these things. So yeah, absolutely. The methodologies we use in global citizenship education around trying to engage people in a non-formal or, you know, in a more kind of participatory education format. Yeah, I think that that's really key. It's meeting people where they're at and really trying to help them to understand things on a deeper level. I'm trying to think of an example. Well, the work that we're doing at the moment with some schools here in Monaghan, it's on this other end of it and trying to empower people around climate change, because it can be so, you know, just so heavy, you know, the issues of climate change, and young people are exposed to so much information and they're hearing all of this all the time. And I suppose towards the end of the process, then in the method that we're working with them, we're doing the workshops with them, we're working through the issues, and then we're also bringing them into a more empowered place where they're able to, you know, restore the ecosystems in their schools, in their communities, you know, planting trees and plants and understanding, yeah, that they can have a positive impact. We're not us humans. We're not just here to destroy the planet. We're also well capable of responding and restoring it, you know, so.
I was saying that I like the way, for example, the global citizen education have actually broadened people's ways of understanding. And these have actually been realized, you know, in the, for example, the groups that we've been working with in County Clare, you know, Donegal, and now in Monaghan, the whole of citizenship or global education, people always think it's about, you know, the global south, or countries that are, you know, they're in war, and they don't need to look at it actually and talk about it. But when you bring it at home, broaden women in particular way of thinking and way of perceiving the world, and at the end of sessions, many sessions, we see many women wanting to do something. They either want to write letters, they want to go and talk to TDs or counselors about what should be done. For example, with the issues for refugees and people having to leave their home, because we do bring some of these things when we also talk about issues of gender-based violence and the immigration journey when people are migrating. It actually bring the information right to the people who needed to hear about it. And also some of the sessions which are on understanding our world and understanding what is happening and the inequality, for example, that still exists, in particular issues of gender equality. Now we are in the week of women, International Women Week. So that actually, when we discuss about countries that are trying to work on gender equality and looking, for example, where Ireland is compared to Rwanda, make people get shocked, you know, because they wouldn't believe that Rwanda would have, for example, the very highest number of female in the parliament. And then we look at our own situation, for example, here in Ireland, and, you know, we have only very few women. So it's quite interesting because people get shocked, you know, even to run from each other and to hear from each other of what is there, you know, the reality, because also people have perception of that maybe the global south, you know, they're not able to move or they're nothing good, you know, because that's, for example, how the global south is normally painted. You know, it's painted as poor, it's painted as, you know, backward, it's painted very, very negatively. But when you get into sessions in particular where you have the women from the south engaging with women, indigenous women in Ireland, it's actually become a very interesting kind of conversation where you educate, you challenge, but you also help people to broaden their way of understanding. And at the very end, they both come up with actions of what they would want to do to ensure that more information is out there and more people get to know what they have now gained, you know, from the course as well.
Amazing.
And I think that there's a really incredible, I think, connection here between individual experience and social change. Because really, you know, in each of these examples, we've heard really amazing stories and examples of, you know, particular projects, particular examples, particular activities, and the individuals within them, the change that they experience or the impact that they experience. And then when you look at that collectively, what you're really looking at is a really strong example of social change. And that's fundamentally one of the things that is at the heart of global citizenship education. It's about, you know, as we say in IDEA, we talk about a world where all people are active global citizens. And, you know, those are active global citizens who are making their communities better place, who are making their societies a better place, their countries and the world overall. So I think that's really powerful, is that connection between the individual experience and social impact of that. And, you know, I think really key aspects of global citizenship education are those values of solidarity, of interdependence being such a central part of it. And also, as everyone has described, that participatory way of both learning and educating, you know, that there really is a strong dialogue between learners and educators. And the critical thinking aspect, that it's so essential that we all bring critical thinking, not just to global citizenship education, but of course to global citizenship education, but then to our lives and our actions beyond that as well.
I actually remembered in some of the sessions we have used role plays, and we've also used case studies and quizzes. And it's quite interesting what people come up with. In one group, we had different, you know, women, migrant women, indigenous, but also including the travelers. And like, for example, even migrant women learned a lot about women in Ireland and different way of, you know, lives and where people have come from and where they are. So it's also an education space where you're educating each other, and also you're learning to respect and treat each other with respect as well, and also to support. We've had women saying they would want to support a particular woman. You know, we had actually one of the, for example, participant was from Afghanistan, and they were having a very hard time with the people back home and what was happening. And also, you know, many things that are, those are discussed within those groups. It's actually also, it's like, you know, sometimes you're talking and trauma would come and you talk about it, and you also discuss on how you have been supported and how you feel supported after speaking out and after speaking to people. So we find them also as healing process, you know, for some of the women, but also as ways of people build, you know, those trainings that let alone they would move on and become even friends. They would want to meet up and retain those relationships.
I had a question for you guys, because and I know in our work, like with GC, obviously we're trying to raise awareness about different things. We're trying to you know, draw attention to certain issues. We're trying to educate people. But then the kind of key thing is that people then take action. And Karen, something you said made me think about this, because I think you were saying, I can't remember exactly, but it was, you were talking about people taking action towards climate change and feeling empowered to do that, rather than feeling overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem. And I just thought that that's kind of the highest measure, really, of GCE work, is the extent to which people either change their behavior or start to do something in light of this new knowledge. And I know, like, for me, it's not super clear, and, you know, we're trying lots of different things and we're trying different approaches, and we're trying to really help people not just learn about things but then also do something different. But yeah, I still probably have more questions and answers around this, and I'd love to hear from you three about any experiences you have or any methods you have or that help people not just learn about an issue but actually become, like, committed to doing something or changing their behavior in some way.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because it's like the holy grail. how do we get to this point where people are then transformed into these active citizens that we want, you know? And then, yeah, the enormity of the problem is there as well, especially when we're talking about, if we are talking about issues of injustice and inequality around the world, you know, they can feel huge, you know, they really can, and massive for people. And I know, like, there has been a tendency within GC to, you know, to push for an action, but sometimes the action can feel a little bit, you know, maybe forced, you know, like a little bit of or maybe too individualized as well. I know we had big discussion about that at some point, the idea of an individual action. And then we're also teaching and encouraging people to see that the problems aren't just individual. The problems are actually structural and they're bigger than that, you know, so structural change is required too. And so I suppose, yeah, anyway, I'm just rambling as well, but thinking about this, because I think one of the things that we came to is this idea of collective action as well. So providing a space in our programs so that people can work, like, yeah, learn to work together to resolve or act in the world, you know. So it's not all put on an individual action, which sometimes can seem maybe tokenistic, you know, in terms of trying to push people towards taking an action. And yeah, I think that is the thing though, isn't it? Because it's such a big, like, there's such big issues that you're asking people to explore and unpack. And yeah, people can, depending on their personality type, can tend towards overwhelm. And, you know, it's sort of giving them an avenue that they can actually be empowered to take actions that are meaningful, but maybe that collective part, I think, might sustain it. So it lasts longer than just, you know, changing one thing in your behavior or in your daily behavior as an individual. But if we're doing something collective, if we're building a group who are interested in doing something, I feel like that could be part of it.
And in terms of that citizen participation piece, you're mentioning the structural thing, and the structural thing being so core to the conversations that I've certainly been aware of in global citizenship education across the island. So, you know, is there something in terms of, maybe it's coming up a level to thinking about the strategic thinking going forward as we come out of the pandemic, as so many structural issues have been highlighted once again in terms of inequality? And is there something that this, you know, focus could bring to, you know, democracy participation, citizen engagement, that is, you know, that you've learned a lot of lessons from engagement with the different groups that you're all engaged with? Is there a strategic piece to this in terms of how that contributes to civil discourse and to civil society's contribution on the island?
Yeah, I think, Susie, there's a really strong connection, as you say, between that structural piece and what we've just been talking about, you know, engagement and action. Because my sense on it is that action can and does manifest itself in a variety of different ways, and that education manifests itself, or learning manifests itself, not just immediately, but over a really long span of time. So it might be that how somebody votes in 20 years' time is influenced by something that they experienced in a global citizenship education program, you know, 20 years previously. And it's very, very difficult to obviously join the dots because there are so many dots. You know, we're all influenced by so many different things. But I think looking at action in that broader sense of, you know, really a spectrum of actions, let's say, you know, from individual immediate action to longer term and collective actions, is a really important way of looking at it. And I do think that the challenges that we're facing right now, you know, as you said, post-pandemic, the issues worldwide around, say, public space or you know, civil society space or democratic space, you know, issues around climate, issues around inequality, there is so much interconnection between them. But the experiencing global citizenship education is a really important way and really helpful way to engage with this. It's like Karen said earlier on, it's about meeting people where they're at. And also in terms of the island of Ireland, having a strong and well-resourced and active sector working on global citizenship education and education for sustainable development, development education, human rights education, all of the related areas that work together on this is absolutely essential in order for us collectively to tackle those issues.
We've actually been having, sessions. There are sessions on the Women Together for a Better World is a day for action. And so we work with an artist to help women to tease out, what kind of actions they would take. And so far, women have taken few actions. One of them is, in their discussion on the whole area of gender equality as an issue that needs to be tackled, who should represent them and how they should move forward in becoming, representing themselves and their communities and their families, in different levels of decision making. Hearing actually, what is happening in other countries and how women do get up there, to present. Many of them, first of all, don't have the idea that they could vote or they can vote here, or they have not registered to vote. So we've had women taking individual actions of making sure that, they would vote and they would also support women to move forward for decision making and being engaged at that level. But also to say that, we've also had discussions and series with the people from the north, actually a group called Hapani there in Belfast, and talking about, the project is called Caring is Sharing. And it's really mainly by refugees who are both in the north and the south and what is going on, and then inviting even the aid engineers and service providers to listen to the issues and what is happening and learning from there. But one of the things that has come up with most of the people is that you don't wait for people to come and do things for you or for your society, that you can actually your society. And most of them are to become mentors, those who can become mentors for that they thought. It could be either here or even Global South, mentoring each other. Not that, the people from here, from the north, to teach the south on how to things, but to learn from each other. So it's a place for mutual learning, which we have found to be interesting. But honestly, in this effort, find very much complementing what people should know about the world we live in and what need to be done to the issues and the problems that we have, including the refugee, including the climate change, which impact very poorly on women. And we talk about, for example, women in the global south and how climate change means quite a lot to many of them, because most of them, if not all, they are the one who are doing the cultivation, they are the one who are fetching water, they are the one who are, doing different things, at that family level, and hearing about these things, even from other people who don't understand them or who have never heard about them, is quite enriching. And we found it to be actually quite interesting, to be in this situation. So global education is actually, citizen education is quite important. And I think, we should also not leave it to just women and the community and the society. We need to be embedded in schools, because I think it's important that people understand about sustainable development goals, issues of climate change and inequality, health and all that. People need to understand them and to embrace them, because like I said earlier, people always see this issue like their fallen issues or their issues of developing world or development world.
Yeah, maybe Bayan, in the youth work, the young people have built on the shoulders of years and years of work on global justice issues, but they are coming out in bigger numbers in some communities, speaking truth to power. But is that is that something that their participation through schools and education is one aspect, I know, and it's certainly, Karen, the work you're doing in schools. Is that something that also goes to the root of democratic participation or participation at their local level? Is that do they feel empowered? I certainly know some of the young people that I've worked with, they're feeling the fuels, that fire of justice, that fire of equality. But they're not always feeling empowered to make a difference in the structural sense or a difference in a democratic sense that their voices are heard. I wonder what your experience in that has been, and if there's lessons that, just like you're saying, Salome, about, I think it was Rwanda was the example you gave, that, that there's been processes that people have used to invigorate their democracy or invigorate their participation. And I know there's different structures in the UK that have been giving more like participatory budgeting. There's just these different ideas that seem to be emergent that make a sense of participation more real to people. Is that something that is important to the young people you're working with? That their
There's
voice
a lot
gets,
in there.
There was a lot in there. That happens to me sometimes.
So it's actually interesting because it's just, so we've just recently been running a few sessions for youth workers to help them bring GCE into their youth practice. And one of the things that we did as well is make available to them a small amount of funding so that they can plan and deliver social action project with their young people. And I was trying to keep it very simple. It's not much money. It's £100 per youth group, so it's very little. However, I was trying to stress in writing this criteria that what we're looking for is that participatory approach, that the skill that we want to cultivate is the ability to look around one's neighborhood, one's community, one's school, wherever you are, identify some of the challenges, some of the things that, you know, maybe are not working quite well, or the really overt problems, whatever it might be, and analyze basically the forces operating within a small setting, within a neighborhood, and then respond positively to affect change in whatever it is that you've identified. So I was trying to stress to the youth workers that this is not really about getting a huge pot of money that you can then go and like do a really massive project and buy loads of materials. We really want to see how are you cultivating this mindset where young people are learning to analyze the place in which they live, the challenges that exist in that place, and then how are they seeing themselves as agents of change that can contribute to shifting some of these problems? Because I think that kind of mental skill or intellectual skill or life skill is what will serve them going forward across the decades. And that's what Frank was talking about earlier, that it's very hard to trace the dots. But in a way, we really, through GCE with young people, we need to see people in 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, we need to see businesses being run differently. We need to see these concepts and these principles of GCE become just embedded into the fabric of society. I think Frank was completely right that it's difficult to identify specifically. I went to this event and then it led to this action and now this problem has been solved. You know, it's not that simple. So we're trying to focus on that, like that kind of outlook that says nowhere's perfect. What are the imperfections and what is my role? And that's kind of what we're trying to inculcate. I don't know yet how successful it will be. I don't really know, but yeah, we've just started trying that. So I'm curious to see how this pans out.
Yeah, it was really just to add on to that that piece about how do we empower, you know, how do we enable people to see that they can be that change, you know, and or, you know, yeah, take action on the things that they see that are happening in their communities. And I was thinking that the framework of the SDGs, I think, you know, what there are obviously criticisms of them too, but at the same time, the framework of the SDGs really allows young people in particular to see, yeah, just the far reaching nature of our interconnectedness, you know, and the far reaching problems, basically, you know, the structural issues that need to be addressed, you know. So it's like if we take all the different goals and we look, okay, there's work that needs to be done there, there, and there, because sometimes it's even hard to identify a problem, you know, if we're brought up in a society, a way of thinking, a community, and we don't question our relationship to nature or our relationship to the wider global community or our relationship with our neighbors, you know, if we don't have that questioning within us, you know, then sometimes it's hard to even identify that. And we certainly find using that framework with the SDGs really gives the space for people to really think about, oh, actually, what is important to me as a human being? What is important to me in terms of the world that I'd like to see? And I think that, yeah, that can also be empowering in a way to be able to even identify, you know, because I think there's so much for people to digest. And then for us, I suppose that piece about focusing on the ecosystem restoration work and working with nature, because nature is such a wonderful teacher, you know, in terms of repair, healing, all of these things that nature can show us, that the abundance, like we can anyway, I don't want to be negative, we can destroy the planet, we can do terrible damage to the planet, we can do terrible damage to it, but nature is ready to heal, like if we give it the space and the chance, and even selecting like a small part of their of a school, of a community, of your own garden, like, and allowing nature to come in, like she will come and she will heal. So there's so much there that we can learn in terms of empowering young people and showing them what's possible. It's just fantastic as a tool.
Absolutely.
I just actually want to mention about, you know, like, you know, global citizenship education challenging biases and discrimination as well. Because, you know, the whole idea of, you know, global education actually is to look at things from a global perspective and who is depending on who. So it look at the interdependency of how we depend on each other. You know, and I'm very keen of the books that I've read of Susan George and all that, or how the other half dies and things like those. But it shows very clearly, like, you know, how we depend on each other. And most of the time, you know, when we are doing those training, we look at what, for example, Ireland is getting from other countries. You know, we import oil, we import products, you know, all these goods that we get from other different countries, that we depend on those countries as well, whether they're in the global south or they're in Europe, but we depend on those countries, you know, to be able to feed us and to be able to do anything. And so we always look at things like, before you even get to your place of work, you might have depended with half of the world, you know, to be able to get to your office, from the tea you take in the morning to the bus or the train that you take, which needed petrol or diesel, which is not actually like gotten from Ireland, it has to be imported from somewhere else. So it's really help people to sometimes challenge those unconscious biases and also their way of perceiving things and the world and looking at where do we also depend with to be able to live, to be able to survive. You know, we all know that we depend so much, for example, with China. Everywhere you go, you buy a shirt or you buy a cup or you buy a plate. It's made in another country, which is definitely not Ireland. And that is in itself, it's a challenge, because it shows people how it's difficult, but it also helps people to learn, like, you know, the shirt that you put on, which you just bought, you know, maybe in Donstow, in Pennis or somewhere, it may have actually costed a child life somewhere trying to make those kind of garment, which are sold to us very expensive, and yet the labor for the person who is you know, producing it is very, very little. I say that because I come from a farming background. My family grows coffee in Kenya. I grew up picking coffee, and I know how hard it is before you get those things, you know, to the factory, to the coffee factory. And really, like, in my family, we could never take coffee, because by the time it's processed, it's very, very expensive when it's brought back to Kenya in packages. So we never actually grew up drinking coffee. We mainly took tea because it was cheaper, because coffee, yet we grow it, was very, very expensive. And when I tell people that, they find it challenging, you know. So we are always educating, but also challenging people's perceptions and also showing them how we are connected to each other at the same time.
So Frank, I think you were going to come in, and I wanted maybe just ask those challenges that we've all been talking about, and as we bring in the conversation to a close shortly, the challenges that we're trying, I mean, they're huge challenges, and we face them, you know, in these times where multiple new challenges are coming at us all of the time. But you were talking about the same as Salome, the vitality of of approaches that need resourced, of approaches that need, you know, that to have active citizenship on the island. I just wonder if you have any thoughts about, you know, how we do that, maybe in both jurisdictions. You have, and I think I need to correct my introduction of you, have members across the island in both jurisdictions. Is that a part of the work, is advocating so as that the amazing examples and types of education that we've been talking about are given the importance that they need to actually match the challenges we face?
Yeah, that's a really important part of our work in IDEA, is to advocate, to represent, to amplify the voice and voices of everybody who's involved in global citizenship education, development education throughout the island of Ireland. And there's various ways that we do this. We have, you know, we talk about championing being central to what we do, about building awareness, you know, whether that's through communications with the wider public, but also advocating and policy work with policymakers and elected representatives. I think it's really important that policymakers across the island understand and realize the huge richness of the work that's happening in this area right across Ireland, and the huge potential for what's happening. There is so much happening. So much of it is through enthusiasm. It's through a passion for changing the world, a passion for education. And there is so much potential in that to really scale that up, and to really therefore make a huge difference within Ireland, but also globally. And there's a couple of ways that needs to be done. I think one is through that awareness by policymakers, by decision makers. Another then is around policy. There are some, in the last few years, there's been some really positive developments, certainly in the South, with regards to the policy infrastructure that supports this work. But there's a lot more to be done. And there's a lot more to be done, I think, to really understand the centrality of it. And then, you know, the third is I suppose the obvious one. It's the funding, the investment, the essentially kind of funding to allow that that scaling up. And I think there was kind of a point that came up in the earlier part of the conversation there that I find really interesting, and it's something that developmenteducation.ie did a really great graphic a few years ago, with the heading, "What kind of an activist are you?" And the idea was that there are as many different kinds of activism as there are people. And, you know, you talk about the enormity of the issues and the spread of the issues, but I think that's somewhere where the SDGs come in, really are a very useful way of communicating, which is to say that any action in any of these 17 areas is a way of addressing the enormity. So you can't, you know, and I probably won't address everything all at once, but you can address things, you know, one bit at a time.
That's fantastic, and a great summary for us to finish on, you know, because as you say, it encompasses, and you've talked about how interconnected they all are, and the SDGs, all 17 are interconnected. But yes, knowing where you act and using them as a framework to increase participation, to increase gender equality, to restore life on land and in the water, and to give the voice of youth, you know, they're just all across the SDGs. So listen, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been amazing listening to you. I hope you've enjoyed meeting each other and having that perspective from all parts of our island and the world beyond. So I really appreciate you coming along today.
You have been listening to Across Divides. Learn more about today's topic and find opportunities to get involved at icommunityhub.org. iCommunity is a joint initiative of The Wheel and NICFA and is supported by the Northern Ireland Department for Communities, the Department of Foreign Affairs Reconciliation Fund, and the Shared Island Unit in the Department of the Taoiseach.